It sure is good to see each one this morning. It's pretty lonely up here when there's nobody in the seats. I sort of smile when I come south because if there's a couple inches of snow, that's to some is treacherous driving. If you live north of the number 7, it's when it's 2 feet of snow. But I want to say that the kids were really happy this week. They got 2 snow days, Thursday, Friday, for whatever reason, I don't know. But they get the weekend, and tomorrow is family day. I want you to turn with me today in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 3. And I know you're going to wonder, as I start out, how this portion is applicable to our message today. Now, I don't have, this is not a scathing message I have. I'm not pointing out faults as the Lord Jesus did to the church at Laodicea, but I just want to use a portion of this to emphasize something that's been upon my heart. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. To the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, but you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say I'm rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire so that you can become rich and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Father, this morning, I just want to thank you today. Though unworthy in ourselves, that you saw fit to reach down and touch our lives, and Lord, you transformed us. Lord, I thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit. Lord, Jesus said to John, or Nicodemus, he said, we can see the effects of the wind, but you can't see the wind. And Lord, may our eyes be open to just see what you're doing in people's lives. And Lord, may we have expectation that you are going to work in people's lives. And today, Lord, without you, I can do nothing. Lord, I'm reminded it's not by might nor my power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And Lord, today I come as your vessel, your servant. And Lord, I need your anointing. In Jesus' name, amen. As most of you know, my history with grace goes back a long time. The first time I was in Sterling in the chapel that was downtown was in 1968. And I even had the privilege of preaching there. Actually, it was the night I preached that the place burned down. No. I preached there. And I've probably been back to Grace more of the years than a lot of assemblies. And some of you don't know this, and just as trivial information, but at one point I was called in by the elders to see if I would come as a pastoral worker to Grace. And at that time, we did not feel, we still felt our calling was at camp. And anyway, where am I going with this? One of the things I observed over the last, say, 15 years or so, as I came to Grace, I was always troubled. And what was my what troubled me? Well, I would see people here and maybe meet them for the first time and come back in a few months' time and they're not here anymore. And then I would hear that there was people that spent their whole life here and I come back, no, they're not here anymore. And what I described it as a revolving door at Grace. The last 3 years has been a real challenge for the leadership here at Grace. And I'm not going to go into why, but there's one thing I want to bring out, that 3 years, 4 months later, here we are, it's actually a new beginning. And some people ask me, how are things going at Grace? Because they knew I was working here and I'd ask them to pray for it. And at one point I would say, I think we're just breaking over the hill. And then one day, I believe it was the Lord that reminded me. Now, when you're driving along or you're pedaling a bike, when you break over the hill, what do you hope's on the other side? You know, it goes down. But I changed that because I believe that we're just cresting the corner. In ministry, and I'm being dead transparent with you today, I've learned in ministry, when things are moving ahead, don't forget there's an enemy. There's an enemy there wanting to slow us down. And today, I want to entitle my message, Where Do We Go From Here? Where do we go from here? Maybe this is a bit new to some of you, and the facts of the past are not necessary, but God has answered numerous prayers. And we're here today, I believe, at this point in Grace's history, because when we were without elders for a couple years, we had this dear old lady who was on the transition team. Oh, have you ever met her? She plays the piano. Dear old lady on the transition team. And you know what she kept reminding us and reminding us and reminding us is to pray. And I'm so grateful for that transition team because maybe we weren't afforded the opportunity for a lot of collective prayer, but I know in my heart that that group, they were committed and they prayed and prayed. And here we are today. Okay, where do we go from here? That's why I read the scripture this morning. In the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and chapter 3, we have the seven churches mentioned, okay? Those were in Asia Minor. They existed. They were churches who once operated. But scholars believe that also The message to the seven churches can be broken up to different periods in church history. And as many of you have heard and possibly know, that the Church of Laodicea is the present age in which we live. So, as Jesus speaks to the church at Laodicea, he is speaking to us. Now, I want to say this. We may live in the Laodicean period, but we don't have to be a Laodicean church. Right? Right. So, where do we go from here? Now, I want us to just look at this, and actually I'm going to look at the last part. At camp, we have what you call, and some of you that were at camp 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years ago, the Bramford girls, remember the flannel graph. And we have an abundance of flannel graph that you have to use a black light with. And you turn on a white light, and you do your story, and then you turn out the white light, and you turn out the black, and there's a totally different picture in front of you. How many have ever seen it? Oh, I thought I was telling you something new. Now, I well remember the story, the painting, but also I'm sure that in your mind is etched this picture that we often see that Jesus is knocking at a door. Now, what is interesting about this door? When you think of Jesus knocking on the door, there's something missing. There's something missing on that door. Does anyone want to wager a guess? There's no money involved, but if you want to wager, what's missing? Not a mailbox. I'm sorry. What's missing on the outside? Go ahead, try it. There's no handle on the outside. Which means when someone comes to the door and knocks, the only way they're allowed in is by those that are inside to open the door. Now, I've at camp, and you've heard lots of gospel messages from Revelation 3 and 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. That is a beautiful gospel application. Why? Because Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, what? He shall be saved, or we shall be saved. Jesus is the door. Now, what's interesting here is who is he talking to? Not that you can't use this application, but whom is he addressing? He's addressing seven churches. Did we ever stop to think that Christ can be the outside of a lot of churches? And isn't it interesting as we come to the seventh church, the Church of Laodicea, he says, do you know where I am? I'm knocking. I want to come in. You know what that suggests to me? That suggests to me, and someone has said one time, we can have the best oil machinery when it comes to church program and everything. We can do church in a wonderful way. But you know who is missing? Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ may not be in our midst. We're doing it our way. We're doing it our way. And so often what happens, and nothing that rubs against my grain more, and that is, we criticize the Vatican. How many popes do they have? But you know, I know a lot of churches that have more popes than the Vatican. And what do I mean by that? Oh, they're like, is it Diotrephes who loved to have the preeminence? There's some people that just love to have power. They love to have control. It's not the people's church, it's theirs. And then maybe I should move on. Christ, how would you want us to function as a local church? I think he should be the first consultant, don't you? Yeah, and where is he? He's on the outside, he wants in. But you know what's interesting? Here's something that I find interesting, and I didn't pick up on this, with somebody a lot brighter than myself. I was reading a commentary, and you know what it said? If any man will hear my voice. Do you know what that means? We're all made up of the church. What makes the church? It's not the building we know. It's people in the church. And so we individually, corporately, need to be reminded that where should Christ be? He should be in the center of our lives. He should be the center of our lives. And so if Jesus came to our house, do you ever remember that poem and song? If Jesus ever came to your house to spend a day or two, I remember years ago that was on a record, and my mom used to play it over and over again. But if Jesus came to any church today, not just Grace, I wonder what his observation would be. Now, we're not going to leave it there. We're going to move on because I believe there's some things in moving ahead that are absolutely paramount, absolutely necessary if we're going to move on, and I know you are. But what must we do? Okay? I believe in moving on that one of the first things that we have to emphasize again, and I've already touched on this, is folks, nothing's going to happen without prayer. Nothing's going to happen without prayer. And I'm going to talk about some specifics here this morning, but this dear little old lady handed me something this morning that was special. No, it wasn't money. No. She had a devotional, and would you read it for us? Oh, yes. Is this turning on, folks? Yeah.
This is from Max Lucado. I don't know if many of you agree, but I do appreciate his words. Anyway, this one is moved by prayer. Just listen to the words and you'll see how true it is. And the verse is 1 John 5:14. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Let's pray first. Traveling to help the hungry, be sure to bathe your mission in prayer. Working to disentangle the knots of injustice, pray. Weary of a world of racism and division, so is God, and he loves. Let's pray most. Did God call us to preach without ceasing? Or teach without ceasing? Or have committee meetings without ceasing? Or sing without ceasing?
No, but he did call us to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Did Jesus declare, my house shall be called a house of study, fellowship, music, a house of exposition, a house of activities? No, but he did say, my house will be called a house of prayer, Mark 11:17. No other spiritual activity is guaranteed such results. The Message puts it this way. When two of you get together on anything at all on earth and make a prayer of it, my Father in heaven goes into action. That's Matthew 18:19. He is moved by the humble, prayerful heart. He is moved by prayer.
Thank you. Barb showed me that this morning, and I thought it was most appropriate if we read it. And I do want to say as well, Wally, thank you for remembering the request that came forward today in regards to the 16-year-old. Do you know what puzzles me sometimes? That I've been in prayer meetings, and okay, is there anyone here in prayer request? And we'll go around, and yes, yes, yes. And I feel if a person speaks up and has a request, we should pray for it. But I have found there's times that to pray for everything else, and the person that suggested, or maybe a couple of people, is not mentioned. Now, we're humans. We make mistakes. But I really think I learned a lesson, and it's unique. The pastoral worker at Graphite was raised in South Africa, and if you ask him for a prayer to pray, he prays right then. He'll stop and pray. It doesn't matter if there's people around. He'll stop and pray right then. And, you know, it was kind of, to get used to that, it was kind of, you know, we're not used to that. But I really think if matters to be discussed, I just encourage you that we stop and pray. I just share a little story. Our two boys and their wives invited themselves to our place to supper last night, and which was quite all right. But not all families are perfect. And our oldest granddaughter is estranged to her family and to us. And that's only happened over the last, I think I could say, since COVID. And do I pray for her? Yes. We pray for her every day. But what was really wonderful is our oldest son, I grabbed his hand, and he was going to go out, and I brought up the subject. And I said, son, will you pray? And it was beautiful. He prayed, and he said, if the Lord is leading, this is family. If the Lord lays something on the heart to pray for Brett, let's pray. Wow, I went out the door. They went out the door. And I was almost brought to tears. I was, oh, God, they're learning the lesson and the importance of prayer. He was telling about being burdened. Our grandson's girlfriend came to know the Lord. They together were going through the purpose-driven life. And it wasn't long after that they broke up. But you know what I really appreciate? And I mean, my son and daughter-in-law still reach out to her because she's got a newfound faith. And they've set up a time to meet with her, to pray with her. And you know, that's what it's all about. The most important thing is not program. The most important thing is people. And we need to not only pray for people, we need to pray with people. And so anyway, as Jesus knocks on the door, and we open that door to him, what does he want to do? He wants to come in and sit at the table with us. I will come in and eat with him and sup with him and he with me. See, there's that whole aspect of fellowship. He wants to come in to our lives. He wants to come into the local church. And you know what he loves more than anything? He just loves the fellowship of his children. And so how can we maintain that? And thinking that in relationship to grace, what do we need to do, folks? Don't lose sight of prayer. I went back, my mind was taken back to, remember Moses? They'd just come out of Egypt. And remember after Mount Sinai, there was they ran out of water. You know something, we've been walking in the will of God, and difficulty can still come our way. But you know what? The God we serve is greater than the difficulty. They murmured and complained. They blamed Moses. What did Moses do? He touched a rock. And I don't know if it was an artesian well, but can you imagine how much water it would take to quench the thirst of 2 million people, cattle, and everything else? But that wasn't the end of it all. They didn't go too much further, and the water was bitter. And then Amalek, who was the grandson of Esau. Now, last Sunday, we had a little history lesson. Maybe we should call it, we got to look at the family tree. Remember Rebecca and Isaac? They had twins. Listen to this, folks. These two guys were wrestling inside the womb. Wrestling. And so what did she do? She cried out to the Lord and said, God, what's going on here? You know, they're wrestling. Oh, God says, in you are two nations. Okay? And remember when they came out at birth, there's old Jacob. He's holding on to Esau's ankle. But you know what she told him, or God told her? The older is going to serve the younger, which meant Esau was going to serve Jacob. See, Amalek was the grandson of Esau, the two nations. But anyway, remember, Amalek, rather than blessing Israel, they wanted to fight them. Can anybody tell me the rest of the story? What did God ask Moses to do? He told him, take a staff. What staff? The staff that divided the Red Sea. And you were supposed to hold it up. And it speaks of intercession. And as Moses lifted it up, and I'm sure cried out to God, guess what? Israel won, or was winning. Then he got tired. He got tired of holding his hands up. And so what did Aaron and Hur? Some believe that it was a him. But Hur was his name. But anyway, he was a brother-in-law of Aaron and Moses. He married Miriam. Some people believe that's the case. But anyway, so what did they do? They got a stone for Moses to sit on. And there stood on one side was whom? Aaron. The other was Hur. And what did they do? They held up his arms for victory. You know, folks, we need to lift up the leadership of our church. We need to lift up one another. We need to pray for one another. Just not talk about it. Just don't see in my life, and maybe you don't know it, maybe you do. I'm a fixer. If something's broke, fix it. Okay? So in my life, when it comes to these things, don't talk about prayer. Do it. Let's do it. Because so often in the Christian experience, we'll sit in the pew and, oh my, that was a wonderful message today. We had these nice, funny, nice feelings come over us. And we think, oh yes, God, I agree with you. And once we get home, guess what? We soon forget about it. The feeling goes away and we do absolutely nothing about it. I've been there. I've done that. No, we have to be people of action. So the first thing we need to do, I got three P's today. It's important that we pray. And when we pray, that we be specific about a prayer. I heard a guy say one time, well, I take the chapel directory and I just say, Lord, bless those that are in the chapel. Well, you may as well, as far as I'm concerned, you might just as well save your breath. Because God wants us to be specific. When we pray, there's needs in people's lives. You know, folks, I sat down with a group of people this week. Little did I know what I was walking into, but I come away with a totally different understand of the hurt in their lives. See, we can stand on one side of the fence, and we can look over the fence and judge people for what they're doing or not doing. But you know what? Ministry is about people. And when we get involved in people, we see their hurts. And you know where that drives us? You know where that drives us? To our knees. Because we want to intercede on their behalf. And so we must pray, be specific. How can we be specific? Specific. Let's pray for our leaders. Yes, let's pray for laborers. In the transition team, Jesus said that we should pray for the Lord of the harvest to bring in reapers or laborers. A lot of you, are exhausted. You're exhausted of the years of being faithful and trying to keep things going on. What should we pray for? God, bring in laborers. That's a need. God will bring them in because that's a need. We're not being greedy. That's something that's needed. If the work's going to expand, we need others to come alongside. What's another area that we can pray about? We can pray, one for another. But, folks, something we can't lose sight of. Please. Let's not just become the holy huddle. There's people without Christ. Keith was telling us today about a guy he witnessed to at work who doesn't want anything to do with it. But folks, there's a lot of people out there like that. But you know, our job is to witness. Now, and I just want to share today, you say, well, Gary, I'm not. You know, there's literature. We call them gospel tracts. The four spiritual laws. The bridge. What are some of the others? The gospel tracts. It's beautiful to hand. Okay, if we don't know how to do it, we can hand it to them and then go through it with them. And the other is the purpose-driven life. To give to someone that's searching. And I think what we are in our lives, we have to get engaged in people. We don't run away from them because they don't believe what we do. But I believe we should pray for them and pray for an opportunity. Can I just tell you a story? Now, we're not going to get through all this today, but if I come back next year, I'll finish it off. See, we believe in engaging with our neighbors. And we have two new neighbors. And the one couple, we've struck up a great relationship with all of them. But the one couple, the gentleman needed a walkway down to his lake, to the lake. And he had some quotes, and they're not poor people. But he got some quotes, and they're a little steep. Maybe for contractors it would be all right. You know what I'm saying. Dave, is that right? No, I'm just kidding. So I said, what do you want to build? Well, he said, I'd be quite happy just to build a set of steps going down. He says, I want to get 8x8s and to make them, you know, about 2 feet, leave out about 2 feet. He had it all planned out. I said, I think I can help you out. My brother's got an excavator, so I volunteered him. We set up a date and went and helped him. My dear wife, she was recovering, so she was an onlooker, and she got talking to this lady whose name was Joanne. They've had a lot of questions. A lot of questions about the camp. A lot of questions about the church. And you know what she said just out of the conversation, and this just naturally flowed, is, I'd like to go to church with you sometime. See, if we're not engaged, that probably is not going to happen. But if we get engaged, now, they haven't come to the Lord, but you know what? It would be a wonderful thing, and we pray for continued, they're not shy about asking questions, and we're not shy about answering them either. But what I'm saying is we have to be engaged in people, and people are important. Okay, the last one, yes, I'll quit with this today, and I want to read a little verse, and we can pray, we can get involved in people. And I'm ahead on my P's. Prayer's important. People are important. That's supposed to be number three. But I'm going to conclude on this one, that participation is important. Participation is important. I want to read from the book of Ecclesiastes. And if my eyes can find the scripture here, here it is. Solomon says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the grave where you are going, there's neither working nor planning or knowledge or wisdom. What's in your hand for you to do it. Now's the time to do it. Now, we can say, well, what can I do? Well, we have a responsibility of giving to the local church. We have a responsibility, and many of you here, and I'm not, I just thank God for the group that is here, willing to get involved. Now, we come to the last, and this is a big subject. I'll leave this for John sometime. Now, Paul uses the analogy of the church as a human body. Okay? What part are you? Well, we might be an arm. We might be a finger. Somebody said the big toe. We don't think the big toe is too important until we don't have one. When it comes to our balance, it's important. See, how God has designed us, everything is important. And you know what? My grandsons helped me yesterday. Not grandsons, I'm sorry. My nephew's boys, whatever you want to call those, helping a little guy hurt his finger. Now, he was quite mature about it. And he said, well, as long as it's not bleeding. But you know what? His whole body felt the pain. Jan, do you know anything about pain? No, we wouldn't go there. Yeah. See, we have gifts. We all have gifts. It's not a church life. Life in the body, it is not all about a few people doing it all. We all have gifts, and we are responsible for those gifts. That's another subject for another time. But anyway, what's important? Oh, prayer is so important. People are important, that we care about people. It's not programs, it's people. And that we all have to participate. We all have to be, and my saying of late is, I want to be a part of the solution, not part of the problem. And that's important. Okay, what I'm going to do, and I know our time is up, and we got one more song, but I felt this week, I'd like a couple to just pray, and pray for grace as we move ahead. I can talk today about prayer, but let's do it. Let's do it. Okay, can we open up? Wally, you're not chatted, and would you start, please?